You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Weston Smith on the Political Cesspool. It's my great pleasure to be substituting for James Edwards for the first hour of this evening's broadcast. James is oot and a boot, as our Canadian friends would say, doing his Jamesy things. I have no idea what he's doing or where he's at. He could be on stage doing river dance someplace. I don't know. But the fact is, I'm here tonight and hope to have a good time with you. James and Political Cesspool great intellectual great white shark Keith Alexander will be joining the broadcast in the second hour, and I think the plan is that we'll have a rebroadcast, a best of show for the third hour. James will fill you in on all of that when he comes on in the second hour. But tonight it is I, Winston Smith, and it's been a long time since I've been at the helm solo of the CSS Political Cesspool. I'm as happy as I can be to be here. And I am not here alone. I have a guest with me. And if you've been prowling around certain websites that lean in our direction, you will probably have noticed one called Daily Ken. Well, the Ken of those websites, Ken Gividen, is a good friend of mine. And he's here with me tonight, and we're going to be talking about a very specific topic. Ken, are you there?
I'm here. Excuse me, I'm choking up.
Well, being on Political Cesspool has that effect on a lot of people. It's just such a big thing. It's such a such an overwhelming thing to be involved with this juggernaut of a broadcast. Have I nailed the problem correctly?
Well, the thought of James doing river dance, I think, just kind of choked me up a little bit. But, I would pay to see that, you know.
James is a man of many talents. Some of them you don't really want to know about. He's multifaceted. He's like an onion, you know, many layers, smells bad and all that. But that's James. He'll be back in the second hour. But tonight, my friend, for the first hour, it is you and I, and we have enjoyed some good conversations in the past. And I got to say, you have taken the bull by the horns on the topic of black-on-white crime. Your blogs and your websites document these crimes that have been happening with increasing frequency and increasing ferocity and sadism. And it's something that needs to be addressed, and I can think of no one better to address it than you.
Well, first of all, we need to keep in mind that not all criminals are black, and not all black people are criminals. There's some very good black folks out there. It's really not a racist thing. It's just a thing. It's just a fact of life. But when I started my website, it's been almost 2 years ago now, but when I started the website, immediately we began addressing the problem of black and white crime. Now, back at that time, it wasn't cool to do that. You'd be criticized for it. But in recent weeks, because of this so-called knockout game, they're really knockout attacks, we all know that. But because of that, suddenly it's become almost a fad with the news media to talk about black and white crime. So we were there before they were there. But, Winston, it is an epidemic, and it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I noticed that when the so-called knockout attacks began getting some national media attention, they were acting like it was some new phenomenon. And I recall this going on for at least 4 years now. I think it gained national attention when a member of a certain, shall we say, tribe was on the receiving end of one of these attacks. And then it became something worth reporting. But while it was simply black on white, it didn't warrant any media attention, really, and as you told me earlier, we were talking about it before it was cool to talk about it. So we were definitely ahead of the curve on that. But these knockout assaults, they are horrendous in any form. Whoever the victim is, it is always a horrendous thing. But it seems that these feral, predatory blacks, they seem to target the elderly quite often. Have you noticed that?
Well, you know, I have, as I'm doing my research on the internet, I have noticed probably, I think, 7 occasions where white people have been murdered. Elderly white people have been murdered, Winston, by black folks. And it's not necessarily a knockout attack, but often it's a home invasion. And the reason that's important is because if that were reversed, if it were, if there were white people murdering, say, 7 or 8 elderly black people in the last, say, 2 months, well, wouldn't that be national news? Wouldn't that be the lead story of every major cable news network?
Oh, it certainly would be.
There's
no doubt about that.
Yeah, let me give you some examples if I can. First of all, there was a guy, and interrupt me if you have questions, but there was a guy in, he was in Tyler, Texas. This man was 65 years old. His name is Tony Jetter, and he's mentally handicapped. And there was a black guy, 25 years old, entered his house, home invasion, stabbed the guy 3 times in the throat, and made off with his money, and he died. Now, the question is, who has heard about that on the national news? Now, we remember the story, we all heard the story about, the guy's name was James Byrd, I think it was 1998 when he was killed. And they're still talking about that after all these years. But here's a guy just this month, or actually I think it was in November, just killed and no one's heard about it. Well, we could mention there's a woman by the name of Bessie Wyman, she's 84 years old. And a black guy broke into her home, robbed her, raped her, beat her, stabbed her, murdered her, and when he was done, he stole champagne and a cigar and took off in her car. That was in Anaheim, California, and that was just last month. And the question is, again, Weston, I'm going to repeat this over and over again, why aren't we hearing about this on the national media? Why is this being shoved to the side and no one's talking about it? And in South Florida, again, just last month, 67-year-old black maintenance worker went into the home of a 93-year-old woman in an apartment complex, condominium complex, where he worked and she lived, and he raped her and stabbed, slashed her throat so deeply that the coroner said he nearly decapitated her, nearly severed her spine. Well, those are 3 occasions just in the last few weeks.
I remember reading about those on your blog, and you know, the ferocity of these attacks is just overwhelming. As you said, that one poor woman, she was nearly decapitated. That's not a that's done by someone who is incredibly strong and who has something more than robbery in mind. Do you think that's true? Do you think they're trying to make some kind of statement?
Yeah, it's always the strong attacking.
We got to cut you off there for a second, Ken. We have music coming up, and that means we're going to a...
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks. But it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Political Cesspool, folks. James had given me a schedule of things that would happen during the broadcast, and apparently we got our wires crossed, and we're supposed to be hearing some Christmas music, and I thought, but that didn't happen. But here we are, here on the Political Cesspool with Weston Smith and Ken Givitan. Ken is the head honcho, the big cheese, the top dog, the man, the boss, El Perro Grande of the Daily Ken website and blogs. You should take a look at them. And at the end of the broadcast, we'll tell you how to find those websites. Ken, are you still there?
I'm still here. I got to apologize. I'm struggling a little bit with my voice tonight. But it'll kick in here in a couple seconds, so we'll be fine. But if you want me to sing Christmas music, I can accommodate you. probably better
leave that to the professionals.
Between rain dancing, or not rain dancing, what do you call it? But anyhow, between that and singing, we better stick to the subject, so.
Good idea. Yep. Before we went to the break, I started asking you a question, and I would like to repeat that and get your thoughts on it. These attacks are extremely brutal. They are extremely grisly. Why the sadism of these attacks on these elderly people? These victims are frail. They can't put up that much resistance. And why do these animals feel the need to inflict so much damage on essentially defenseless victims?
Well, the only answer I can come up with, Weston, is it has to be genetic, because it's been around for so long and it is so widespread. It's not a cultural thing that we find in one geographical area, but we find it nationwide. We find it worldwide. Though some people are a little bit surprised when I tell them that back in the early 1800s, Abraham Lincoln, when he was 19 years old, was set upon by 7 black guys. I mean, he was the victim of a mob attack, him and one of his friends. And Lincoln was like, I don't know, 6'5" tall. He was a fairly big guy, kind of lanky, but he managed to fight them off. We don't necessarily agree with his politics, but the point is, this has been going on for a long time. But let me just, if I can, just throw out some statistics real quick. The Department of Justice tells us that 52.2% of all homicides in America are committed by blacks, and nearly all of those are between the ages of 18 and 49, which comprises about 3% of the population. So we have a problem that we're shoving, we're sweeping under the rug, we're ignoring it, we're not dealing with it, we're not addressing it, we're pretending, Winston, that it's not there. But when you have 3% of the population committing half of the violent crimes, we can't just ignore it. I'm 60 years old. If 60-year-olds were committing half of the violent crimes, I would expect to be profiled. I'd expect the cops to look at me and follow me around and pay close attention to what I'm doing. But we don't like to address those things. We're a nation of neurotics. We've been taught from day one that to even address these things constitutes racism. But and you've seen the thing on the internet, racism means anti-white, and I think that's true. But we've got to address it, or it's just going to get worse.
Well, you're absolutely right. You mentioned Abraham Lincoln being set upon by a mob of predatory blacks, and I find that ironic. I find it funny. And the thing is, Ken, that no matter what the statistics say, no matter what the plain proof is, there are some people who just refuse to acknowledge the obvious. I remember seeing a news report. I read the transcript of the a woman. I think she was in Washington, D.C., and she was the victim of one of these knockout assaults. It didn't knock her out. She was on her bicycle, and she was being interviewed on one of the news broadcasts. And at the end of it, at the end of describing her ordeal, she refused to blame the black thugs that had attacked her. She said that the problem was that they did not have enough activities, enough after school activities, and enough things to keep them busy. And she said, it's a wonderful thing to see our young people with something to do. Do you remember seeing that?
Yeah, you know, I saw that, and that's part of what I call the national neurosis. We're just, we're a nation in denial. We want to pretend it's not there, and so we make excuses. And if we can excuse it, well, maybe it will go away. But the truth of the matter is, we know good and well it's not going to go away. It's always been there. It always will be there until we deal with it. Can we talk a little bit about what happened in Iceland this week?
Oh, let's not say we did.
Well, it's your show.
Yeah, let's bring that up. That is an interesting case study. You mentioned earlier.
Yep.
That there is a cultural aspect of this and a genetic aspect to it. However, in Iceland, where the people are armed, you just don't see this kind of violence. What do you say about that?
Well, Iceland is a nation. It's really kind of, it's a big geographical nation, but the population's relatively small. I think it's 321,000, which is the equivalent of a small big city or a big small city, however you want to say it. But last week, the police, who normally don't carry guns, had a situation where they had to call in a special police unit that does carry guns, and they encountered a bad guy. They encountered a criminal, and this guy shot at him. And the police returned fire, and they killed him. Now, here's what's significant about this. That is the first time in the history of Iceland that the police have ever shot and killed a bad guy. First time ever. And what is it about Iceland that's different from Detroit? What is it about Iceland that's different from St. Louis or Chicago? And what we need to I'm sorry?
Or Memphis.
Yeah, but what we understand is this. Nearly all violent crime is committed by individuals, mostly by males, with an IQ between 70 and 90. And in Iceland, they don't have low IQs. They have average IQs above 100. And once again, I'm gonna stomp on this thing one more time. But we have to go back to DNA. We have to go back to genetics. We have to admit that it's there and deal with it. And it's really not fair not to do that. Now, let's talk about the South, if we can, just for a second. We know back in the 1950s and before that, they had what they call they had laws, Jim Crow laws, which they say were racist. And in a sense, I agree with them. But we need to understand that the reason we had Jim Crow laws was to protect white people from black crime. So it was really black racism that was causing the problem. That's why we had Jim Crow laws. And if white people were intolerant, if they were racist, there wouldn't be any black people left to talk about it.
That's an interesting statement. I tend to agree with you. In Iceland, the Iceland story fascinated me when I read it, because it was such a traumatic thing that the police provided counseling for the officers who were involved in shooting that suspect. As I recall, they lobbed tear gas in there to try to get the guy to come out. He was armed with a shotgun, and they went into his house there, and he shot one of them in the hand, and he shot another one in the face, and apparently their group officers were doing fine, but they still ran out of the process. And the police apologized to his widow.
To his family, yep.
Stick a break, Ken. Stick around, folks, for the next segment.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool broadcast this evening, my friends. I'm Winston Smith at the helm of the CSS Political Cesspool. I'm very happy to be here. It's been a long, long time since I've done this, but thanks to some wonderful technology and the volunteer help of a very nice lady named Stephanie, I'm able to be here. I hope it won't be the last time. I look forward to my appearances on the Cesspool with James, and I look forward to hopefully in the future be at the helm solo more often. We're here with Ken Yevenin, and we've been talking about black-on-white crime. And when we left the previous segment, we were talking about Iceland, and they had a very interesting and tragic incident in Iceland in which the police, for the first time in that country's history ever, had to shoot someone. And it's caused a national trauma. The whole country is grieving. The police have sent condolences to the dead man's family, and they've apologized. They've offered counseling to the police officers who had to perform this this unsavory duty, but it had to be done. And Ken and I were moving into talking about why that is unique to white communities. And Ken, the point I would like to make about that is that homogeneous communities, we like to say, are communities that are more peaceful and you are safer in homogeneous communities. And I think that's generally true, but that breaks down with skin color. When the communities are lighter skinned, then you're pretty safe and it's pretty peaceful. But as the communities become darker skinned, the violence escalates. And this is not something that's uniquely American. Japanese society is one of the safest societies in all the world. I've been there several times, and you are very, very safe in Japan. Crime there is ridiculously low, and it's not like Iceland, which is a sparsely populated area. Japan is very densely populated, but the Japanese government insists on Japan for Japanese. They restrict immigration. They've been trying to pay immigrants to get out of that country. And the result is their crime is very, very low. So, Ken, is that something that you've noticed? Is my observation correct?
Well, you know, Winston, it's not just something that I have noticed, but it's something that everybody has noticed. Everybody knows it. We're just afraid to talk about it. I've got a good friend who's a police officer in a town north of Indianapolis. I'm a little bit hesitant to say it, but it's a suburb called Fishers. And he tells me that in the past 20 years, they have not had one single homicide. Nobody's been killed in that town. And it's basically the same thing as Iceland. It's what you call a homogenous community. It's all white. And they just don't shoot each other. Now, they drive funny. I got to tell you that. They'll cut you off when you're driving down the street. But they don't shoot each other. And the sad thing is the mayor of Indianapolis is busy trying to build a transit system from the urban area to the northern suburbs. And when that happens, what he's going to do is he's going to be literally busing violence up to that area, and the police in those northern suburban cities and towns better be on the alert when that happens. But you know, they talk about a conversation about race, and what they really mean, Winston, is they want us to shut up and listen while we get lectured about how racist we have been. But I got to tell you, as I look back honestly at history, white people have not been racist. In fact, they have been among the most accommodating of all people. When you see these commercials on television, and they want you to send a monthly donation to help starving children, it's always white people sending money to brown people. And I don't have a problem with that. But we need to get over this white guilt and understand that we are the innovative people. If you stop and look, I think we talked about this last time I was on the show, but if you or your listeners, our listeners, stop and look around their environment, wherever they are right at this very moment, and just look at the stuff and identify something that was not innovated and invented by white people. For example, look at a light bulb, Thomas Edison. Look at your computer. White people made those things. Our healthcare, you know, we are an innovative people. Why are we being burdened with white guilt? And it's not that we are haters, it's not that we're racist, not that we want to hurt anybody, but I think the key word here is gratitude. There needs to be, you know, when I talk to my white friend or my black friends or Asian friends, whatever, I see them benefiting from white innovation. They don't say thank you, and really I don't expect them to, but they don't seem to even acknowledge it. And I think it's because that we have been effectively, well, we've been brainwashed. That term, you know, is used so frequently, it almost doesn't mean anything anymore. But there's a phenomenon, what I call white guilt films, movies. For example, Lincoln, and the one that's out, excuse me, currently, it's I think it's called 12 Years a Slave. There was one called The Help, another one called The Butler, which was Oprah Winfrey. And these movies, I know they're designed to implement white guilt in our minds and victimization in the minds of non-whites. And it's the exact inversion. It's the exact opposite of reality. That's more of an answer than you ask, but that's where we are. We're just in denial.
Ken, you mentioned Oprah a couple of seconds ago, and really, the reason you're on the broadcast tonight, one of the reasons you're on the broadcast, is because you have something to say about Oprah. She's been in the news recently, first with the incident involving the handbag in which she and Larry King manufactured a racial incident where one did not occur, and then there was that disgusting movie that she made, The Butler, which was replete with historical inaccuracies, and it was pure propaganda. And then she made some very bombastic statements. Would you mind covering that?
Well, basically what happened, and you got to keep in mind, we're talking about a highly intelligent, brilliant woman. She is the second wealthiest black woman on the planet. She knows what she's doing. When she goes on TV and talks, she's doing it for a reason. And usually it's to plug a movie or whatever. But effectively, what she said when she went on the BBC network in Britain, effectively she said that racism is not going to end until old white people die. And no sooner than she said that than there was a group of teenagers in Florida, and they went and knocked on the door of an older family. When the guy opened the door, one of the teenagers punched him, and they video recorded it. They laughed and ran off. And what she's doing is encouraging, enabling black on white crime. Now, I've got a little sound snippet here. Do you mind if I play this? Give your engineer a head up. Heads up.
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, let me put this on, see if we can hear it.
People, older people who were born and bred and marinated in it, in that prejudice and racism, and they just have to die.
They just have to die. Did you hear her say that?
Well, no, I don't hear much of anything these days, Ken.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry, but that's what she said.
I'm just messing with you.
Yep. Racism isn't going to end, she says, until old white people die, and we wonder why it is that every week, at least one occasion, where black criminals have broken into the home of an older white person and killed them. I mean, it's happened. I've found a news story every week for the month of October and November. And there have been many other attacks where they weren't killed.
Well, that's all, Ken. Stephanie says music is coming, and we'll be back in a few minutes with our final segment, folks. Stick around.
Okay.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Wise up, load up at FreezeDryGuy.com. Now is the time to get the freeze-dried meats, fruits, and vegetables you want from Wise on sale at FreezeDryGuy.com. This delicious, nutritious food is perfect for your emergency preparedness or outdoor recreational needs. It's the food with a 25-year shelf life you see exclusively featured on the popular Doomsday Preppers TV show. It's the same quality line of food the lovely Marie Osmond has been touting all across America. It's the wise investment in your family's future that personal finance expert and radio host Dave Ramsey has been talking about. And it's on sale now through the end of the month at freezedryguy.com. So wise up. Shop online now or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Make the wise food choice. It's easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and easy to buy on sale now at freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397. Oh, oh.
Yeah.
segment of the first hour of this evening's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. I'm Winston Smith, here with Ken Givenin of the Daily Ken. Ken, before we go any further, would you mind telling folks how they can access your excellent material, your blog, and your Facebook and all that?
Sure. The web address is dailyken.com. It's very easy to get to, and all the information we're talking about tonight, it's right there on the front page, easy to access. And if you go to my Facebook page, and if you like my page, click on like, and that will help us tremendously.
I do want to tell folks that Daily Ken is spelled with two N's.
Spelled with two N's. Now, if you do it with just one N, it still goes to the site. I actually registered both of those domain names, so if you forget, that's fine. Just think of Barbie and Ken, but that's Ken with two N's.
All right. I could do a lot with that, but I won't because we haven't got much time, and we're on a very interesting topic here. We're talking about Oprah's buffoonery and her overt racism, things that if any white person were to say on international television, they would be pilloried and their career would be over. If they were a movie star, they would never see anything on the big screen and go direct to video. We know how that goes. It's not a surprise to us. But Oprah, being who she is and what she is, she not only gets a pass on it, she gets lauded for it. Sort of like Nelson Mandela, who is now known as the world's most beloved terrorist. I'm sure James will delve into that in the next hour of Political Cesspool. But Ken, dealing with Oprah, she got away with murder just about. And frankly, anything that happens to elderly white people now, I think we can lay it directly at her huge feet. What would you say to Oprah? You have a challenge for her, do you not?
Yeah, I do have a challenge for her. And you say she's getting away with murder, but you know what, Winston? That's not just a figure of speech. I mean, she is literally enabling, encouraging, and it may not be intentional, but it's happening. But my challenge for Oprah is this. Now, I can show you where black thugs have murdered a white, elderly white person every week for the last 8-10 weeks. My challenge for Oprah is this, and I hear that she listens to the Political Cesspool. I'm just joking. I don't think she does.
No doubt.
But if she happens to be listening, this is my challenge for her, and if she's not listening, somebody who knows her, please pass this on. But I would like for Oprah to tell me one elderly black person in the last 400 years, not in the last week or month, last 400 years, who was murdered by a white mob. One elderly black person killed by white people in the past 400 years. Now, I think there has to be at least one. There's probably several. If there's an elderly black person that's been attacked by white people just in the last year, I would like to meet that person. I would like to give that person a hug. I would like to apologize to that person for what happened to them. But I would like Oprah to do the same. I would like her to apologize to the elderly white people who have been assaulted by black thugs. I would like her to apologize to the families of dozens and dozens of elderly white people excuse me, who have been murdered just within the last year, not to mention the last decade or decades. And so that's my challenge. Just name one. Just name one black person the last 400 years who's been assaulted, maybe not even murdered, just assaulted by white people. I don't think she can do it, but if she can, I'd like to know who that person is. But that's my challenge.
Well, you have it, folks. The gauntlet has been thrown down. It has been applied forcefully across Oprah's face and tossed to the ground. Let's see if she picks it up. Should she decide to? Well, Oprah, you're welcome to come on the Political Cesspool and debate Ken Givenin all you want. I think we could promote a good fight out of that. I think we could meet our fourth quarter fundraising very easily. So, Ken, I thank you for doing that.
Well, Yeah, I'm going to sit here and stare at my telephone and wait for her to call, because I'm pretty sure she's going to call any second now and say, oh, I've got one for you. But who knows? It could happen. I don't think so. But wouldn't it be great? Because, you know, here's the thing, Winston. They keep saying we need to have this conversation about race. Well, here I am. Let's talk. And let's start by talking about black-on-white violence. And if you want to talk about white-on-black violence, we'll talk about that, too. I don't care. But when we talk, when we have this conversation about race, it can't be one-sided. We're not going to sit here silently and be lectured to and be called racist, because white people are not racist. And I'm speaking for myself, but I'm guessing I'm probably speaking for you, too, that I don't dislike anybody, excuse me, because of their ethnicity. You know, they can't help who they are, let alone hate them. I don't dislike anybody and don't hate anybody because of who they are or what their genetic makeup is. I just don't. You know, I don't hate anybody, don't dislike anybody. And what I want to know is, why do you hate me? Why is it every time I turn on the TV and watch a made-up fictional TV show, the white guy is the bad guy? Why are you teaching a generation? This is my question for Oprah or for anybody who wants to have this conversation about race. Why is it that there's no gratitude for what we have done? So I hope that answers your question, Winston, but it's just something that needs to be done.
I'll answer my question and then some. And you are absolutely right about the so-called conversation about race. And by the way, we're not talking about the excellent video by our friend Craig Boddicker, which all of you should lay hold of. It's an excellent documentary called A Conversation About Race. Get a hold of it. But Ken, you mentioned that when the phrase is mentioned, the conversation about race, it's expected that white people just sit back and shut up and take the abuse. There's a certain assumption there that we have neither the right nor the competency to talk about race. And that I find that insulting, and I find it the attack of the coward. I find it the attack of the limited intellect. I find it the attack of the bully. They simply want to listen to their own voice, and they want to see white people simpering like a woman did in Memphis a few years ago when she got down on her knees in front of a black church there in downtown Memphis, and she begged forgiveness for what happened during the sanitation workers' strike so many years ago. That was white guilt on steroids, and I was ashamed of that woman. She had nothing to do with it. Her family had nothing to do with it, and yet there she was, on her knees, begging forgiveness on behalf of her family. I don't know if you remember that, but disgusting scene.
Well, cultural Marxism has two objectives. Number one is to instill white guilt in white people and victimization in black people. And somehow, cultural Marxism thinks that they're going to make us all, excuse me, make us all equal, make us all the same by doing that. And we have to be alert. We have to be vigilant. We have to understand, here's what the media is telling us, and we have to be ready to think through it and think for ourselves. We need to be able, Winston, to distinguish between fiction and reality. And it's not as easy as you think. And that's the problem, by the way. People just, they don't think. They let the media think for them, and they just respond. So what do you think? Do you think Oprah is going to answer my challenge?
Well, I'm not holding my breath, but I'm holding out hope. You know, the old good South Carolinians used to say, while I breathe, I hope. And I think that's actually their state motto. But I would really like to see one of these race baiters actually engage in a debate with someone who is reasonable and reserved and informed, such as yourself or Jared Taylor or even David Duke. There are so many people out there who could take on that task and could acquit themselves very well but I don't think you'll see any of today's crop of race hustlers and race baiters willing to do that. They will not hazard being embarrassed and humiliated and owned by someone who really is informed and well-spoken. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm glad you issued the challenge anyhow.
Well, it doesn't fit the cultural Marxism narrative, and that narrative, once again, is that white people are racist and everyone else is a victim, where in reality the opposite is true. But everything they tell us, and there's a, you know what history revisionism is, but there's a thing that I call real-time revisionism, where they're lying to us.
Okay, I got to cut you off. Stephanie says the music is here. Thanks for being on the show with me tonight. I look forward to doing it again.
Thanks, Winston.
Folks, stay tuned for the second hour with James Edwards and political cesspool intellectual great white shark, Keith Alexander. Thanks for being with me, folks. Good night.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.